the title of my message this morning is Paul's Resume. Paul's Resume. You know, you can't help but read the New Testament and come to the conclusion that God used Paul in a mighty way. We read in the pages of the Bible, the New Testament, that he was a preacher, he was a teacher, a missionary, a writer, writing over half the New Testament. He was a church builder. He was a trainer of workers and a trainer of preachers. And some people look at the Apostle Paul and say, man, just what a super Christian that he was. Smart, well-educated, special. He was a special person. That's why God used him the way that he did. And I would point out to you this morning, as we look at his resume, things that he said in the Bible about himself, then he wasn't much different than any one of us. There were some things that Paul realized that made him usable to God. And as I mentioned, I got five things I want to mention this morning. As I mention these things, I hope that we all can identify with him and come to the conclusion and say, hey, if God could use a person like Paul in the mighty way that he did, he can use me too. Because when you get right down to it and you compare, as we compare ourselves to Paul, we're not that much different. We're not that much different. And so I want you to listen as I put five things. I mentioned five things that I think if Paul was writing his resume, he would put on his resume, because these are things that he said about himself that as he wrote different books of the New Testament. The first thing I would point out to you comes from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where the Bible says, and this is Paul writing, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul is saying in that verse, if you line up all the sinners, and by the way, we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Paul's saying, if you line up all the sinners that's ever lived on the face of the earth, and you go down and look at each one of them, you'd have to stop at me and say, I am the worst one. I am the biggest sinner. I am the chiefest of sinners. My iniquity is more than anybody else. My transgressions are bigger than anybody else. When Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost," Paul would raise his hand and say, "I'm the lostest. I'm the baddest. I'm the worstest." It's not good English, I know, but it's good preaching. I am the worstest of sinners. Early in his life, Paul wrote the book of Romans, from which we read our scripture reading. And he penned in that book, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Early on, Paul knew that he was a sinner. Early on, he knew he had fallen short of the glory of God. Early on, he knew that he was not righteous. But the older he got, and the closer he drew to his Savior, Paul wrote in the book of Philippians that I could know him. I mean, he said, everything that's dear in my life, I'm just going to put aside. It's nothing but garbage, because I want to get to know my Savior. And the older he got, the longer he lived a Christian life, the closer he got to Jesus. And the more he understood about Jesus, and the more he saw about Jesus, he comes to the end of his life as he writes the book of 1 Timothy, one of the last books that he wrote. And again, he knew when he was starting out as a Christian, I'm a sinner. But when he got to the end of his life, and the closer he got to Jesus, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners. Because you see, the closer that we get to our Savior, the more that we see him. The Bible says we look through a glass dimly now, but the more time we spend in our Christian life, the more we spend time in God's Word, the more God brings us through different experiences in our life, the more we see of him. And we have to say, like Paul, line up all the sinners, I'm the worst one. Because in his perfection is where we see our sin. I mean, you've heard me say before, as a Christian, we're supposed to get closer and closer and closer as we walk the Christian life, closer to Jesus. But the closer we get, the more we realize how much of a sinner we are compared to that standard of perfection. So the first item that Paul would put on his resume is, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the worst one that there is. The second thing I think he would put on his resume comes from one of the verses that we read in Romans chapter 1, where he says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. He says, I was a sinner, the chiefest of sinners, but God sent his son to die for me. When I could do nothing on my own to pay for my sins, when I was headed for hell for eternity because there was nothing I could do to make myself right with God, God stepped in and said, Paul, you can't do anything for yourself, but I'll do something for you. I'll send my son. I'll send Jesus to die in your place. He'll go to that cross and he'll shed his blood and his body will be broken, not for any sin that he committed. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So when he went to the cross, he had no sin to pay for his, no sin of his own to pay for. When he went to the cross, he was paying for our sins. The book of Isaiah says that God laid upon him all of our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And Paul says, because of that, I am a debtor. I owe God. And Paul would say, there's no way I can pay him back. There's no way. What's the value of Christ dying on the cross? Paul would say, what's the value? How can I pay? I mean, if I could gather all the gold in the world and all the silver in the world and lay it before the feet of God, it would in no way repay him for what he did for me in sending Jesus to die in my place. Now you listen to me this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, you're a sinner. You may not understand how bad a sinner you are because you're not that close to Jesus. But I'll say like Paul, the closer I get to him, the more of a sinner I realize that I am. I mean, I understood when I was 16 years old, when my pastor took me in his study and explained to me that I was a sinner, I understood. I mean, I admitted. I had told some lies. I had not obeyed my parents, and I broke the law. And the Bible says if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And that made me a sinner, and I realized I need a Savior. But now, having been saved as long as I have, having read the Bible as much as I have, having been under good Sunday school teachers as much as I have, I realize today how much more of a sinner I am. And I, too, am a debtor. I am in debt to God because of the price that he paid for my salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, being separated from God forever and ever. And as a sinner, the only thing that you can do to pay for your sin yourself is to die. To die spiritually. To be separated from God. But God stepped in. This is the good news of the Bible. This is what should get us excited. This is the gospel. We don't have to die to pay for our sins because somebody died in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ. He took all of our sin upon himself. And if we'll receive him, the Bible says God will give us the power to become his sons, members of his family. Simply by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and asking him to save us. It's that simple. Say, preacher, I don't think it should be that simple. Why not? It should be that simple. God made it that simple so that anybody could do it. I mean, Adam's back there preaching to the kids. They can do it. The oldest adult in this room can do it. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's very simple. A, you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, call upon him and he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as A, B, C. And if you haven't done it this morning, you need to do it. Because there's nothing else that'll make you right with God except Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And because Paul made that decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a debtor to God. Because I made that decision to ask Jesus to be my Savior, I too am a debtor to God. And how, you say, well, preacher, how do we repay that debt? We'll never repay it. But the way I can show my appreciation for what God did for me when he sent Jesus to die for me is to tell other people, to share what I did so that they can take part in it too, so that they can ask Jesus to save them too. That's how we can, I mean, we can't repay our debt. There's nothing we can do to repay it. But God says, hey, if you want to do something because you are a debtor, be a witness. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Paul says, I'm going to do that because I'm a debtor. I was the chiefest of sinners, but Jesus died for me. And now I am in debt to God. The third thing that he would put on his resume comes from the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 14, where the Bible says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul says, I was the chiefest of sinners, but Jesus died to pay for my sins. That made me a debtor to God. I am a debtor. But he says, I'm also carnal. I've been saved, and when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, and so I have that new man living inside of me. But he says, the old man didn't move out yet. The old man still lives within me. And the temptations that the old man keeps throwing up in front of me are still there. Paul would say, I'm still in a battle. The battle goes on between the new man that I became in Jesus Christ and the old man that I was when I was born with my sin nature, and they just fight all the time. The old man just keeps throwing things in my face to tempt me to go back to the things of the world, to get back into sin. And the new man says, no, you're a new creature. All things became new. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Apostle John wrote in the book of 1 John. But Paul says, I still have that old man living inside of me. I still have a carnal side of my life that doesn't go away. The fourth thing that he would put on his resume comes from Romans chapter 7. Again, starting in verse 14 and going down for five or six verses where the Bible says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul says, he says, I was the chiefest of sinners. I'm the chiefest of sinners. But Jesus died to pay for my sin. That made me a debtor to God. I got saved. And the Holy Spirit moved in, but the old man didn't move out. So I still have a carnal side. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Because the things I know to do, I don't. And the things I know not to do, I do. He says it's that sin, that old nature that's still inside of me that's working. And he says, I am a wretched man because I know what to do and I don't always do it. And I know not what to do and sometimes I do it. And Paul says, it's wretched. He says, I wish I could do right all the time. I wish I could never sin again. But he says, I do. The sin that dwells in me, even though I wrestle against it, it sometimes overtakes me. I let it overtake me, and I sin. And then the last thing I would mention this morning that he would put on his resume comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, where he says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by his grace, I am what I am." I am what I am. Paul says, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but Jesus died to pay for my sins. That made me a debtor to God. I can never repay that debt, but I can tell people how to meet Jesus themselves. Even though I still have the old man that lives inside of me, I'm still carnal. And I'm wretched because sometimes I give over to that old man. But he says, by the grace of God, God uses me. He uses me. He said, Paul says, I don't deserve to do what I do for God. I persecuted the church. I rounded up Christians. I arrested them. I threw them in jail. I was there when Stephen was stoned. I stood by and held the crowd's coats as they threw stones at that Christian, at that deacon, as that one that was preaching Jesus Christ. I was there and watched. I blessed his death. Paul said, I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to be a teacher. I don't deserve to be a missionary. I don't deserve to be an apostle. I am the least one of all the apostles. It's only through the grace of God that he allows me to do what I do for him. And I submit to you that if we could grab a hold of those things, if we could understand those things the way the Apostle Paul understood them, that I am the chiefest of sinners, but I was saved because God sent his only begotten Son to die in my place. It made me a debtor. I know I owe everything I have, everything I am belongs to God. I'm in his debt. I was bought. I was purchased by the death of his Son. He says, that old man still lives inside of me. I still have carnality inside of my life, and I'm wretched because sometimes I give over to it. Sometimes I don't do the things I know I should, and sometimes I do the things I know I shouldn't. But you know what? God still uses me. He still uses me. He didn't throw me out because I haven't been always what I'm supposed to be. He didn't say, no, I can't use you anymore. And by the way, if you're still walking the face of God's earth, breathing his air, he can still use you. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. It doesn't matter how many times we've failed him. It doesn't matter how many times we did the things we knew we weren't supposed to do or didn't do the things we knew we were supposed to do. It doesn't matter. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. By his grace, I can serve him. Now, those five things, truthfully, can be said about every single person in this room, including your preacher. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. But God will use every single one of us by his grace. By his grace. Say, preacher, I can't do that because I haven't been what I need to be. Yeah, so what? I haven't either. Well, I can't do that. You just don't know what's going on in my life. Yeah, you're right. But you don't do it in your power, with your might, anyway. You do it by the grace of God. The grace of God. So if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner. The closer you get to God, the more you'll understand you're probably the chiefest of sinners. I mean, all of us deserve to be in the first place of the line of sinners because compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is none righteous. No, not one. That sin's going to take you to hell. And the only hope that you have for heaven, we sang about that song, Jesus is Coming Again, and Lydia thing about that city that she's going to, that we're going to if we know Jesus as our Savior. The only way that you can get there, the only way that you can get there is come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you need to ask him to save you. You need to realize you're a sinner, there's a penalty for that sin, and that he will save you if you ask him. Now most of us are this morning are here, we're Christians. We're Christians. We've been saved. Our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're on our way to heaven. We're a debtor. We owe a debt that we can never repay. Yeah, there's things in our life that shouldn't be, and we do things that we shouldn't do. But God will still use us. He'll still use us. He wants to use us. There's hundreds of thousands of people that are dying and going to hell. And he needs somebody to go tell him about Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me. That's our responsibility. That's our job. And we're not perfect. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But by the grace of God, he can and will use us. Use us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, even though in spite of all our frailness and all the things that's in our life that shouldn't be there, you're still willing to use us. And you give us the privilege to go out and tell people about Jesus. You give us the privilege to go out and invite people to come to church. You give us the privilege to go out and tell people, like Adam sang a minute ago, God's been good. You've been good to me. You've been good. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us realize, as we look at the life of Paul, that if we're still here, you got a job for us to do. You got a job for us to do. Help us to be busy doing it. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, help them to see their sin. Help them to see the price of that sin. Help them to see that Jesus is the only hope that they have. And if they'd ask him, he would save them. Father, would you help them do that this morning? Every young man, every teenager, every adult that doesn't know Christ, help them right now to pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you're the only one that will work. And I ask you to save me. And then, Father, in just a second, when we have the invitation, they would just walk down the aisle, share with us that they've asked Jesus to save them so that we could rejoice with them. Just bless this time of invitation. If there's somebody here that needs to be baptized, somebody you're speaking to about joining the church, I pray, Father, they'd be obedient to what you tell them to do as well. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.